Good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry, coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yindingi Country. As BBM Bumber Brip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your saver calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, treatment now available through PBS subsidy for Australians living with chronic nasal condition. A treatment for chronic rhinorrhosis. With trying to break my jaw, pronounce that, with nasal polyps is now subsidised by the Pharmaceutical Benefits Scheme from April 1, 2023. Now, with it, we're going to catch up a yarn with Professor Richard Harvey, rhinologist, on the line. Professor, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Breaking my jaw trying to pronounce some of the words here, but just give us a description of your profession as a rhinologist, please.
Yes, I'm an ENT surgeon or otolaryngologist by training, but my practice is really solely in helping those people with nose and sinus disorders. Okay. And Trevor, a big part of that is managing people who have chronic inflammatory changes in their sinus cavity that produce polyps. And chronic sinus disease with nasal polyp formation is really the target condition for this new medication that's become available.
Okay, so and what is chronic rhinoceros with nasal polyps, and who is at risk?
I think a lot of people feel, Trevor, that sinus disease must have some sort of infection or bacterial component. That's actually not the case. Actually, for most people, especially those people in which their symptoms are bilateral, meaning the left and right sides are involved together, This is usually an inflammatory process. And at the most severe end of this spectrum is a group of patients who often have a bit of lower airway involvement, so they have a bit of asthma as well, but they develop terrible sinus inflammation on both sides. And over time, this inflammation changes the nasal lining, and the nasal lining gets very thickened and what we call remodeled, and it forms sort of polyp-like structures in the nose. And these, it's not just the polyps that form that are the problem, it's the actual inflammation that is the issue. And it's pretty debilitating for many patients. They often have a lot of nasal congestion, loss of smell, pressure, but the whole condition affects them. They often feel tired, lethargic, run down, affects their sleep, and even their mental state of mind. There's higher rates of depression in people who have this condition.
And it is curable, yes?
It's not curable in the sense that you just take a one-off treatment and then you never have it again. It is a condition a little bit like asthma or someone who develops an inflammatory skin disorder like psoriasis that you have to manage. It's an abnormal human body response rather than a one-off condition. But there are some very good treatments that can push people into remission. Essentially, so they're living with it, but not really getting any symptoms from it, but are taking some medicine to control it. And this is true for asthma as well, but in the sinus cavity, we've had very few treatment options apart from local therapy, such as special nasal irrigations or sprays, to help control this condition. So this is really one of the first treatments that have been targeted to managing the polyp inflammation.
And are you born with it, and is it hereditary?
It's not hereditary, you're not born with it, and it's actually the opposite, Trevor. So it's a condition that we don't see in children. It's a condition that occurs later in life. Okay. And we think that the people who get it, something's happened to the lining of their airway over the course of their lifetime. Exposure to viruses, pollution, damage from living in the environment creates a scenario where the lining thinks it's under attack and turns the inflammatory switch on and doesn't know how to stop it. And so the traditional treatments for this condition are anti-inflammatory medicines, either taken as direct applications to the nose or as tablets, to try to turn the inflammation off. A little bit like someone who develops abnormal psoriasis on the skin. It's not something you catch. It's an inflammatory disorder.
And so with this now, we have a treatment now available. So people can just go to their pharmaceutical and order the treatment as such?
Yeah, it's actually pretty complex medicine to get. So it's not a straightforward one. It's really designed to treat the small proportion of patients who have this condition really badly and are not managed well with topical treatments. So if you've been diagnosed with some sort of inflammatory sinus disease, nasal polyps, maybe had a surgery even, but actually with a little bit of local topical treatment, if you're doing well, then this is not the treatment for you. It's for people who still have ongoing symptoms.
Yes.
Despite having surgery and topical treatment, that still have ongoing problems. Now, this is a fantastic drug. Like I gave a couple of examples, like psoriasis of the skin, if you have psoriasis mildly, then you just use some local creams. It does very well. But if you have it badly, there are similar drugs, even in that condition, that work in a similar way. In nasal polyps, we have an antibody injection that targets a molecule called interleukin-5 or IL-5. And by targeting this one signaling molecule, it really helps to turn off the inflammation for those who have it badly.
And you put the treatment within your nostrils, is that right?
No, it's an injection.
Oh, thank you.
It's a little self-injector pen. And so you get a little pen, you grab a piece of a roll of tummy skin or fat, and you just press it in, and the pen releases the drug into the fat tissues, and you absorb it from there. So it's not something you take orally, and you don't put it into your nose.
Okay. And then does this becomes an ongoing thing then?
It's done every 4 weeks. This is in its introduction, this is how it'll be used. This is where our research and data shows that it's most effective. Every 4 weeks. And people get a response pretty quickly within the first one or two injections.
Okay, and when we talk about subsidy, what sort of costs are we talking about this treatment?
Yeah, the drug's expensive. It's more than $1,000 an injection, and that's why it's really been unobtainable for people outside PBS support. And the government bringing in PBS support for it means that for those group of patients who have this condition really severely, they've now got another way of managing their condition other than just simply taking oral corticosteroids that are really blunt tools with side effects to suppress the condition.
Well, with this illness, it affects the person, you know, like frustration-wise and mental-wise and drowsiness. It would affect their whole life in regard to their job and their communication with family, people, what have you.
Yeah, we've had these medications for a little while, Trevor, in the lower airway version, asthma. Because when people get sick in asthma, Trevor, they end up in hospital. They end up coming to hospital emergency, even sometimes intensive care because their lungs aren't working. Look, the upper airway, sadly for me, is a bit of the poor cousin of the lower airway. Sometimes these drugs don't become available until much later on. This is one example of this. We've been using this medicine in the lower airway very successfully. Now that it's available in the upper airway, it really is a big game changer for a lot of these patients who have it. They are exactly as you said. They're in the prime of their life, often between the ages of 30 and 50.
Yes.
It really affects their quality of life and productivity. And now that we've got a way of treating them other than relying on traditional tablets, it's a huge step forward.
Well, thank you so very much. Very important and a nice breakthrough in regard to medication treatment now available through PBS. And a big shout out to the government for supporting people with some chronic nasal condition. But thank you for your chat, Professor Richard. All the best to you, and we'll talk soon, my friend.
Thanks very much, Trevor, for having me.
Take care. Bye-bye. A beautiful yarn there. That's Professor Richard Harvey, rhinologist, and talking about the treatment now available through PBS subsidy for Australians living with chronic nasal condition. And so there it is, you mob. Get in touch with your pharmaceutical, your chemist, and talk to your doctor regarding treatment for nasal condition, chronic nasal condition. And of course it does affect individuals in regarding their livelihood, sleeping, drowsiness. It just affects their life left, right and center in regard to the job, what have you, and it could be very frustrating in that sense. Well, there's light at the end of the tunnel. Have you saying Jan Armstrong, add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, daily number here, 1-800-422-416.
ani garemin yangi ani lugula ngi ani gimubila gamalu ngi ani jiria
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Say what I wanna hear, 'cause it's easier than saying it's complicated, and I hear you loud and clear when you say I'm over. Just sick of you asking me over and over. Then tell me it's over when I say it's complicated, when I don't. Just me.
Maybe you've lost your mind. You've lost your sanity. 'Cause you're way too young and way too drunk to be saying you need my love. That you just need some therapy. I wanna say you just need. This is paradise right before my eyes. My people have stories to tell about the land and sea. It's where I long to be. So take me home. Oh, P.I. my beautiful home. 40 tribes of Bogomen.
Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
A very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumba Bip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your Sabre call us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, next segment we got, Which Way Yarning, proudly sponsored by Piconi, IGA, Brinsmead and Edmonton. They give us a box of fruit here at Bumba Bip Media. And for our school-based traineeship, we talk about healthy living, healthy lifestyle. And it's about chewing on an apple and a banana rather than a Mars bar and a picnic. There you go. So it's about healthy living, healthy lifestyle. And which are yarning, proudly sponsored, like I said, by Piconi, but also Edmonton Police. And we're going to catch up with the guys there, Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay and his bodyguard PLO, Police Liaison Officer Stephen Grant. Very good morning, gentlemen. How are we?
Yeah, good morning, Trevor. How are you?
Fantastic. Great to see you. Good to see you, boys. Thank you very much. Our topic today, gentlemen, scams. Mobile phone scams. Look, there's plenty of scams out there. Don't worry about that. But the topic today is about mobile phones.
Yeah, and we all have a mobile phone pretty well.
Well, we do, don't we?
You know, they're a handy bit of kit. Mm-hmm. But we've got to remember it also provides an avenue for these scammers to come into our life and take money out of our bank accounts.
By any means necessary, eh? They're like vultures, aren't they? So whatever tool is out there, here it is, we're talking about phones, I'll jump on that. So talk to me about some scams that are out there at the moment that you guys as police officers are aware of.
Yeah, so look, we'll start off with a ringtone scam. Mm-hmm. We all love a deadly ringtone, bit of music playing in our ears while our phone is ringing, or for the person that's contacting us.
Yes.
There are legitimate companies that do sell ringtones. There's no problem with accessing those companies, but it's also an avenue there for scammers to provide a ringtone that will charge you at a premium rate. So they can be scams where each time the phone rings, you've got to pay for that ringtone. They're very hard to get out of those contracts with those companies when you do sign up.
Because you sign up with them and it's not a one-off payment. Every time that phone rings, ching, 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 exactly. In their bank account.
Exactly.
Whoa, I didn't know of that. Okay, ringtone scams, okay.
Yep, so, you know, and this is part of the scam is they just can make it very, very difficult for you to stop the ringtone or to opt out of the service. So they do their very best to keep you on board and receiving their service, and then they're charging you a premium amount for that service.
Okay, and that would be the same as what we got here, missed call scams and text message scams. So same thing, isn't it?
It is, like a miss. So a missed call scams, that's basically where they call your phone and let's say it'll ring once and then it hangs up. And then human curiosity takes over and you pick up your phone and you look there and you
miss
go,
call.
Geez, I don't know who that was.
Mm. Ring
Might
back.
Be someone important and I call them back. Now, the trick there for the scammer is to keep you on the line. So if you've called them back and you're having a conversation with these people, they might ask you questions.
They get details.
You're wondering where this conversation's going.
Yeah.
But the whole time you're paying for this very expensive phone call. Okay. And that money is going into the.
So they just extend that yarn.
Yeah, very crafty. Very, very crafty, yes.
Yeah, you're going to talk about your phone, but how do you reckon the Broncos went last week? And then we were suddenly talking about fishing up at Cape York and then 4 hours later.
You don't know where it's going and where it's going is empty in your bank account.
There you go. Okay, and text messages are the same, are they?
Yeah, that's right. So our text message scam, it may be someone that you receive a text message. Could be something like, you know, are you good to go this Friday or something like that.
Yeah.
You look at the number and you don't know who that is.
And go, where Friday? I'm on shift. What's he talking about? Who's this?
Yep. So, and that might be your reply. It might be just, you know, who's this, that's made contact. Mm. Look, sometimes you're paying up to $4 to send and receive those text messages from that scammer. So each time.
But that's only you. But there's 40,000 people out there that are the same person too.
Absolutely, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, you know? $4 by 40,000.
Yep, and so that their trick there is just to keep you in that conversation. So,
yes.
So you will text back, they will reply. You text back, you'll reply, and look, if they get 10 text messages out of you, there's $40 bucks from.
Yep, know, exactly.
Easy money.
Yep. All right, fantastic. Yeah, because unmarked calls, I don't answer
private,
them.
Yep, private calls.
Yeah, private calls. I don't answer them, and. Then I'll get a text from my son, Dad, I'm trying to ring you. I can your things on private. That's why I don't answer it. Who are you? He's exactly. Oh, sorry, Dad, pick me up, please. I'm ready.
Yeah, I want to talk about another tricky one too. These are trivia scams, SEMS trivia.
Trivia scams.
Okay, so that's just encouraging people to take part in a competition for a prize.
Okay.
All right, so...
By ringing you or texting you?
Yep, normally by text.
Yep.
It seems pretty simple and innocent that, you know, there's a great prize on offer if you can answer a certain number of questions correctly. They're making their money, again, like them text message scams, just by the messages going back and forwards.
Yeah.
You're paying an enormous amount of money for...
Because you're given the so-called answer to the so-called question of a trivia.
Yep.
And then, they hook you up.
And so the first load of questions you'll receive are going to be quite easy questions.
Sure.
And that's where you get sucked in, because you think this...
I'm a winner. I'm deadly. I'm going to keep going here.
Five questions.
I get a prize at the end of it.
Exactly.
No, they're taking your prize.
Yep. And then the last couple of questions that you may need to answer to claim your prize can be very, very difficult or even impossible to answer correctly.
Mm.
And again, they've sucked you into the message cycle and made their money from you before you knew it.
Okay. So give us some... cautionary actions in regard to all this.
Yeah, look, probably the first one with the ringtone scams, know what you're probably signing up to. Okay.
Yep.
Now we're all guilty of it, you know. Anyone that goes and even downloads an app these days, they'll always see the terms and conditions that come up on the screen. Very few of us will read it. It's full of legal jargon, very difficult to understand, and we want that ringtone or we want that app.
Mm.
So we just scroll right down and say accept.
Yes, exactly.
Mm. You know, look, a lot of the times with our bigger social
media... Well, who reads fine print?
Oh, yeah. Look, with our bigger social media giants, you know, their terms and conditions are fairly reasonable.
Yes.
And that's why people would sign up to, you know, some of those networks. But when we get down to things like that are selling ringtones, there can be some there that have terms and conditions in there that make it very difficult for you to
and 25 pages.
Exactly. So look, sometimes, you know, you should read.
Yes.
And I shouldn't say sometimes, I should say all the time. We should read the terms and conditions, you know. So.
Well, if not, you'd be scammed.
Yeah, exactly. It just makes it less easier for you to be scammed. So.
Sure.
Look, if you have signed up to some of these, you can text stop back to unwanted text messages to end the unwanted subscriptions. You may have to go back to the company policy and have a read on how to end that.
Or you can go back to the company that you're registered with to help them with their IT persons to get behind
the carriers.
To cancel that contact.
Yep. Yep.
Probably so, right?
Yeah. Well, look, you could... you'll be trying everything because this is your hard-earned money that's disappearing before your eyes. So, look, just as a caution, never to reply to a text message offering you a free ringtone or to a missed call number that you don't recognise. And like you're saying, you do that now with your own children, but that's not a bad thing.
Good habit.
Skeptical about what's going on.
Mm.
Look, they're also asking that we don't ring numbers beginning with 1-9 unless you make yourself aware of the cost involved. So, look, I'm assuming anything that starts with 1-9 is going to be a premium rate phone call.
Yep.
So if that's the number that you're calling back, that's probably going to be a very costly phone call.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
To stay informed, we've got our Scam Watch website. That's an Australian government website.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sure it's the Australian Consumer Commission.
All the W's scamwatch.gov.au.
Correct.
Yep.
And then we've also got cybergov.au.
Okay.
Same thing to report any scams. And they have a wealth of information on scams.
So with something like this, as police officers, when there's a new scam that comes to the table, so to speak, you guys are educated on that in regard to be aware what's out there.
We do. We receive intel reports when scams are going around. There is, and you can imagine we couldn't know all of the scams that are out there.
No, that's right.
But a simple thing, COVID hit, straight away people are, there's scams on COVID. You know, we've got the old, the phone call to say you've got a warrant, you need to pay some money, or you need to buy iPhone what do you call it?
Credit. Update credit.
You know, they're more common ones that we're all aware of. But
sure,
you know, you always should be skeptical, and before you part with your money, know exactly what you're going to get.
All right. And so, if there's any dramas going on, contact the police straight away.
Yeah.
Yep. And what numbers are we talking?
Yep.
Would that be a 000?
No, you wouldn't be calling 000. 000 is for if you're in
an emergency.
Yes, it's an emergency.
Okay, thanks. Yep. Sorry, I'm getting fired up. Here. Yeah.
Look, 131.
Don't scare me. I'll ring 000. Don't scare me.
131 444. That's our police link number.
Okay. Yeah.
Look, it's always good to just walk down to your local station if you've got the time, and just have a chat with the officers there, and you know, they can point you in the right direction also.
Mm.
Be aware though, with scams, a lot of these people that are scamming you out of your money are not from Australia. They're not from this country.
Yeah.
The sad overseas and unfortunate part about it is it's very difficult to get that money back.
Yeah, exactly.
If not impossible. And that's the sad reality of it. You know, some people, not gullible people either, some very intelligent people, you know, unfortunately fall victim to scams and can lose considerable amount of money.
Well, there it is. You've been warned. Thank you very much, Dillman. I'll text you boys later. All right. Good talking to you both. Thank you very much for coming in. Very important conversation. And we'll talk soon, gents?
Okay. Thank you.
Too deadly. All right, beautiful yarn there with the boys in blue from Edmonton Police. And that segment there, Which Way Yarning, proudly sponsored by Piconi, IGA, Brinsmead, Edmonton. And give us here a box of fruit here at Bumbo Bipper Media. It's healthy living, healthy lifestyle is what we're pushing. The topic there, scams, mobile phone scams. And it's about you doing what you need to do, due diligence, about protecting yourself. That's what it's all about. Have your say, yarn up strong here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Just knowledge is in my told you to store my heart full of pain and gore. I spread my wings and I start to fly. I fell from the stars and I touched the sky. But they ain't never told you to store my heart full of pain and gore.
I can never let it go, I can never let them down. Hear the spirit of my flow, yeah, I know they're still around. When they talk to me like, what you doing with your life? Hold their head up high. And when the time come, I'll be there rolling with a pride of a lion. And I never let another man tell me who I am. Never cared to break bread with the liars. I'm well aware that they're dead, but I'm flying high by them.
I spread my wings and I start to fly. I fell from the sky till I touched the sky. But they never told you the story. My heart full of pain and gore. I spread my wings and I start to fly. I fell from the sky till I touched the sky. But they never told you the story. My heart full of pain and gore. This world that we hold is treasure and gold. And all we know is can never let it go. What we hold is treasure and gold. And all we know is can never let it go.
And never let them take it from me. Hold it tight, stand up right when the pressure on. Show the press and the clutch. Better let it double down when they double up. All we got is faith and love. They don't give a fuck. Cause trust me.
G'day you mob, this is Tanya Kernigan with Trendy Trev and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now 1-800-422-416.
Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumbergrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Israeli Service. You can have your saver, call us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to catch up with now with Professor Daryl Higgins, ACU Institute of Child Protection, and talking about child protection, education and health services failing to provide culturally safe responses to First Nations children experiencing domestic and family violence, new research has found. On the line, Professor Daryl, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thanks, Trevor, and lovely to be coming to you from Wadawurrung country down here in southwest Victoria, and I'd like to pay my respects to elders past, present and emerging.
Beautiful. Thank you for the acknowledgement and big shout out to the mob there. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, a very important conversation. Child protection, education and health services failing to provide culturally safe responses to First Nation children experiencing domestic and family violence, new research has found. So a lot of work has got to be done in this area, yes?
Absolutely. Look, and I was delighted to be part of a team working with actually a group of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander researchers coordinated by QUATSIP, the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Child Protection Peak up in Queensland, in partnership with ANROS, the funding body, Australia's National Research Organisation on Women's Safety, and ourselves at Australian Catholic University.
Good, fantastic. So in regard to the failure that they're providing culturally safe responses to First Nation children experiencing domestic and family violence and research, what do we need to do here? And they say it takes a community to raise a child. So all departments got to be at the table, front and centre, to move forward.
Absolutely. And what we know is that domestic and family violence is one of those kind of sleeper issues that often we forget about when it comes to the issue of children and their safety and well-being. And yet we know that it's one of the very frequent experiences of children who are coming to the attention of statutory child protection services. But the real gap that we'd identified with our earlier research was the absence of a practice framework to really guide the work that child protection oriented staff, either within a statutory child protection service or, more importantly, even within an Aboriginal community controlled organisation that's wanting to work with families, work with children who are exposed to domestic or family violence.
Exactly. And Professor Darrell, when we're talking about working with our children, well, we know the number one ingredient is black on black. You know, and having our black people working with our black children, that's goes without saying. But also, it creates that that culturally safe response to looking after our children in that space. Yes,
absolutely. And that's one of the really exciting things about this project was that it was led not only by that peak body for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Child Protection Services in Queensland, but they had this fantastic process of engaging community research teams from across regional and remote Queensland. And so it was just a delight to be able to be part of that kind of process of elevating First Nations voices to find community-led solutions for healing and recovery for children.
Look, surveys, research, also very important. What happens now that we've found this information? Where do we go from here, Professor? Who do we take this information to get some traction and some action in regard to this space?
Yeah, look, Trevor, it's a great question, and I think there's two areas. One is we need to make sure that we are resourcing and prioritising First Nations-led approaches. Mm-hmm. And so that means, first of all, prioritising that cases relating to child protection issues for First Nations children are in fact being led by and managed by community-led organisations. So that's kind of the first thing. But then the second thing is, and what is it that they need to be doing? And so this is really about having a research-informed practice model that can help drive what it is that those Aboriginal community-controlled organisations can do on the ground to respond to what we know is the vast over-representation of First Nations children within the child protection system, and the very common feature of those children who are coming to the attention of the statutory system, and that is exposure to family violence.
So here we have, you could say, another closing the gap situation.
Absolutely, and closing the gap through the use of culturally sensitive and evidence-based practices. And what I love about this project is not only that it was led by First Nations community researchers, but that it was actually about trying to look at the evidence that could be led into a new way of working with children across the community, you know, that's holistic, that's culturally sensitive. And so I was really proud to be able to support and be part of this exciting project to really drive, I suppose, a reform agenda so that we're not just allowing children to kind of cycle through a system that's culturally unsafe, that's not responsive to community needs, and just continues the cycle of disadvantage that we know has continued on for far too long.
Look, and it's about building a strong foundation for our young ones to build their future on. So it is a team effort. Like I said, it takes a community to raise a child. So we are all in this together, are we not, Professor?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think the important thing about Out of Work was the focus that we put on identifying within the framework kind of the key elements of healing. So it's a healing-oriented and culturally strong model. So, you know, different themes related to supporting safety, supporting strong cultural identity, working with family and community, having strong deadly relationships and really strengthening spirits. And so that was really about addressing the needs of the child, the family and the community, taking a trauma-informed lens, looking at the strengths of the child, of their community, and prioritising their voice.
Yes, exactly. Look, a beautiful yarn. Thank you so very much. A very important yarn. A big shout out to everybody involved, Child Protection Peak, ANROS, as well as QUATSIP and also ACU. Thank you for your yarn, Professor. Please do keep in touch and we'll yarn soon.
My pleasure. Thanks, Trevor.
Bye-bye.
A beautiful yarn, deadly yarn there. Professor Daryl Higgins, ACU Institute of Child Protection, and talking about the child protection, education and health services failing to provide culturally safe responses to First Nation children experiencing domestic and family violence. New research has found. And so there it is. We need to fix that space and protect our children. Have your saying, Yarn Up Strong. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.